News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast, Daybreak. I'm Pathikrit Sen Gupta. While there's understandably a pandemic of coronavirus-related news all around, let's have a listen to some other big stories. A day after four cabinet ministers sought the suspension of Navjot Singh Sidhu from the Congress for indiscipline, the cricketer-turned-politician hit back on Thursday and asked Punjab Chief Minister Amrinder Singh to stop firing from party colleagues' shoulders. In a tweet, Sidhu said, "His soul seeks justice for Guru Sahib and Punjab's conscience is above party lines. Stop firing from party colleagues' shoulders. You are directly responsible and answerable. Who will protect you in court of the great Guru?" the tweet read. The Punjab Congress is facing another round of turmoil after Sidhu launched an attack on the Chief Minister over the recent court ruling in the 2015 Kotkapura firing case. The Punjab and Haryana High Court has trashed the charge sheets filed by the Special Investigation Team probe and given a clean chit to the Badals and the police firing incident. Sidhu has blamed Singh for the court ruling and accused the latter of colluding with the culprits of the 2015 sacrilege incidents. As many as 18 elephants were killed in lightning strikes at a forest in Nagaon district of Assam, a senior forest department official said on Thursday. The incident happened on Wednesday night at a hill in the Kundoli proposed reserve forest in the Kathiatoli range, Principal Chief Conservator of Forest Wildlife Amit Sahai said. Chief Minister Himanta Biswa Sarma took stock of the deaths and asked Forest Minister Parimal Suklaba to rush to the site. "The area is very remote and our team could reach there on Thursday afternoon. It was found that carcasses were lying in two groups. 14 were lying atop the hill and 4 were found at the bottom of the hill," he said. The preliminary investigation found that the jumbos were killed due to electrocution caused by lightning the previous night. But the exact reason will be known only after post-mortem, which will be done on Friday, Sahai said. KP Sharma Oli, in his capacity as leader of the largest political party in Nepal's parliament, was reappointed as Prime Minister on Thursday night after the opposition parties, riddled by factionalism, failed to secure majority seats to form a new government. President Bidya Devi Bhandari reappointed CPN UML Chairman Oli, 69, as Prime Minister 3 days after he lost a crucial trust vote in the House of Representatives. The Office of the President, in a press statement on Thursday evening, said that President Bhandari reappointed Oli as Prime Minister in his capacity as leader of the largest political party in the House of Representatives as per Article 78, Subsection 3 of the Constitution of Nepal. President Bhandari will administer the oath of office and secrecy to Oli at a ceremony at Sheetal Nivas on Friday. The president had asked the opposition parties to come up with the support of a majority of lawmakers to form a new government by 9 p.m. on Thursday, after Oli lost the vote of confidence in the House on Monday. Oli's appointment came shortly after the office of the president said that no two parties or more than two parties came to lay claim to forming a coalition government by the given deadline that expired at 9 p.m. Oli will now have to take a vote of confidence in the House within 30 days. Failing which, an attempt to form a government under Article 76, Subsection 5 would be initiated. Should both the steps fail, the House may face another dissolution and the country will move towards the direction of early elections. Political parties were engaged in hectic negotiations to form a coalition government under Article 76, Subsection 2 for the past 3 days, but failed to bear any fruit. Until Thursday, Nepali Congress President, who got the backing from CPN Maoist Centre Chairman Pushpakamal Dahal Prachanda, was hopeful to get sufficient votes in the House to stake his claim as the next Prime Minister. But as Madhav Kumar Nepal took a U-turn after his last-minute meeting with Oli, Deoba's dream to become the next Prime Minister was shattered. The dissident faction led by Madhav Nepal within the CPN UML, with their 28-member strength in Parliament, had earlier decided to resign en masse from the Parliament, paving the way for Deoba to claim the post of Prime Minister. On the other hand, the Janata Samajwadi Party also divided on the issue of extending support to Deoba as the next Prime Minister. Upendra Yadav, President of JSP, had assured Deoba of extending support, But Mahanta Thakur, another president of the party who has the backing of 17 of the 32 lawmakers, rejected Upendra's idea. The CPN-UMI, headed by Oli, is the largest party with 121 seats in the House of Representatives. However, Oli needs to prove his majority through a vote of trust in the parliament within a month of his reappointment. Nepali Congress and Maoist Centre have 61 and 49 seats in the lower house. Their combined strength was 110, which is insufficient to win a majority vote. At present, 136 votes are needed to form a majority government. Oli withdrew the action taken against four UML leaders, including Nepal, and assured to address their other demands. If 28 UML MPs had resigned, the total strength of the House would have been reduced to 243. Currently, there are 271 valid members in the House. If they had resigned, only 122 votes would have been sufficient to stake claim for a majority government. Hamas sent a heavy barrage of rockets deep into Israel on Thursday as Israel pounded Gaza with more airstrikes and shells and called up 9,000 more reservists who could be used to stage a ground invasion. The hostilities intensified despite mediation efforts by Egyptian negotiators who held in-person talks with both sides. In another potential escalation, at least three rockets were fired from southern Lebanon towards Israel, an attack that threatened to open a new front in the fighting. The artillery and tank shells that began falling into Gaza in the evening forced scores of families to flee their homes, Palestinian witnesses said. The use of artillery fire in Israel's four-day-old offensive raised the likelihood of civilian casualties. Previous fighting between Israel and Gaza's Hamas rulers, including a devastating 2014 war, was largely confined to the impoverished and blockaded Palestinian territory and Israeli communities on the frontier. But this round seems to be rippling farther and wider than at any time since the 2000 Palestinian Intifada or uprising. While some rocket attacks have reached the Tel Aviv area, Arab and Jewish mobs have rampaged through the streets, savagely beating people and torching cars. Flights have been cancelled or diverted away from the country's main airport. Weary Palestinians, meanwhile, somberly marked the end of the Muslim holy month of Ramadan on Thursday, as militants fired one barrage of rockets after another, and Israel carried out waves of bone-rattling airstrikes. Since the rockets began on Monday, Israel has toppled three high-rise buildings that it said housed Hamas facilities, after warning civilians to evacuate. Gaza's health ministry said the death toll has climbed to 103 Palestinians, including 27 children and 11 women, with 530 people wounded. Islamic Jihad confirmed the deaths of seven militants, while Hamas has acknowledged 13 of its militants killed, including a senior commander. Israel says the number of militants dead is much higher. Seven people have been killed in Israel. Among them were a soldier killed by an anti-tank missile and a six-year-old child hit in a rocket attack. The Japanese fashion tycoon who's booked a SpaceX ride to the moon is going to try out the International Space Station first. Going to the ISS before the moon, Yusaku Maezawa announced on Thursday via Twitter. Maezawa has bought two seats on a Russian Soyuz capsule. He will blast off in December on the 12-day mission with his production assistant and a professional cosmonaut. I'm so curious, what's life like in space? So I'm planning to find out on my own and share with the world, Maezawa said in a statement. He will be the first person to pay his own way to the space station in more than a decade, according to Virginia-based Space Adventures, which brokered the deal. A Space Adventures spokeswoman declined to divulge the cost. The company has sent seven other tourists to the space station from 2001 to 2009. Maezawa's trip to the moon aboard Elon Musk's Starship is tentatively scheduled for 2023. He will fly around the moon, not land, with eight contest winners. Maezawa, 45, who founded an online retail clothing business, will be joined by photographer and assistant Yozo Hirano. They will be escorted by Russian cosmonaut Alexander Misurkin, who spent nearly a year aboard the space station on two separate missions. The launch is scheduled for December 8 from Kazakhstan. Thursday's announcement comes amid a flurry of private space initiatives. The Russian Space Agency announced on Thursday that a Russian actress and movie director will launch to the space station in October for filming. The movie is tentatively titled Challenge. In January, the first private mission to the space station from the US will bring three businessmen from the US, Canada, and Israel, who are paying about $55 million apiece. They will launch aboard a SpaceX Dragon capsule from Kennedy Space Center and will be accompanied by a former NASA astronaut who now works for Houston-based Axiom Space, which arranged the deal. The company plans about two private missions to the space station a year. Before the space station visit, SpaceX will launch its first private space flight with four people on board, including tech entrepreneur Jared Isaacman, who purchased the mission. They will spend 3 days orbiting Earth in September. This truly is a renaissance in U.S. human spaceflight, NASA's director of commercial spaceflight, Phil McAllister, told reporters on Monday. I think that's the perfect word for what we are experiencing, he said. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again next week with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening. Have a very good day and a great weekend.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.